Kine Kekiz Play.
Good morning. You're listening to Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie. Every Friday here on 1150 AM KKNW, I'll be introducing you to fascinating people, fun places to visit, and activities are guaranteed to lift your spirits. I am still in Kauai on location and doing the show from Kapa'a, Hawaii, downtown. And joining me this morning is Dawn McDaniel.
Hello, Dina. Happy to be here today.
Aloha. Yeah, it's been a very fun trip. I'm ready to come home in a couple days, but I want to tell a little bit more about my experiences here at Dolphin Touch Wellness Center, and that's where I met you.
Yes, absolutely. I walked in the wellness center, and there you were.
And I think we hit it off right away, and we hit it off, and then you got a session with me, mm-hmm. took some of my classes, and I think at the last class, your story resonated with me because I had a friend going through some of the same things that you were talking about. So for the listeners who haven't heard your story, because you were on before briefly when I got back from that trip, let the listeners know a bit about what you went through three years ago.
It's going approaching 5 years.
Wow, 5 years ago.
I had pneumonia. Well, first off, I was a very healthy woman, you know, never had any health issues, but I got sick with pneumonia, and I was prescribed levofloxacin, which is generic for Levaquin. It's an antibiotic, and after the second dose, 12 hours after the second dose, I was sent into full-blown anxiety, like a black cat. I couldn't control my body. I was just like, something is clearly wrong. I walked out on the deck and had a flash that I could just dive on my head, you know, and that escalated over the next couple of weeks, where I called my mother for help. She came to try to, you know, soothe me. I was having insomnia, anxiety really bad, just in a horrendous state. I had gone to the ER when I noticed something was clearly wrong, and they just looked at me as if, well, so you're having an anxiety attack. Basically, they didn't know what to do for me. That continued to escalate. I fled the island because I didn't want my children to see me in that state. I tried to get help in Santa Cruz, California, where I had some alternative doctors, but still, it wasn't appearing that anything was helping me. And my mom at that point was saying, I need to get back to my life in Baja. Why don't you come down there? She has like a mini resort. And so I thought, well, maybe if I get down there, it'll be real calm and I can finally get some sleep. But I still wasn't sleeping. I was having mental anguish, which is excruciating.
These are all things that just, you were not this person before.
No, I never had. I mean, I had situational anxiety where, you know, my 13-year-old was out in 20-foot surf and I was a little freaked
That's
out.
Normal.
But right, but never anything like this. This was chemically induced. And it wasn't even so much that it was just the anxiety, but that it sent me into intrusive thoughts, suicidal, homicidal, graphic, borderline seizures. There was a lot of symptoms, but the ones that stayed the longest that were the scariest were, you know, the agoraphobia, the insomnia and the anxiety. And mostly, I think the thing that scared me the most and my family was the intrusive thoughts. I was looking up ways to commit suicide and just trying to stay. Basically, I was trying to just hunker down and ride it out because I was scared to put another pharmaceutical on it. I was like, I don't really want to take another medication after a medication already did this to me. Mm-hmm. But what I did end up doing 4.5 months after writing it out was I had my mom fly me back up to California, and I did check myself into the ward because it was getting to the point where my reality was, I was losing my reality more and more, and I wasn't getting the breaks in between. And it was just exhausting and scary, very scary. I now that I've come out of it, it's almost hard to even drum up exactly what I went through. I think our bodies protect ourselves from that.
Well, like, and it's, I have a friend that's coming out of it too. And like, it was like a nightmare, and each day remembers a little bit more of this time. It does feel like the darkness is there, but when you're in it, you don't know. You can't do anything about it.
No, I knew. I mean, when I was in it, I knew what was going on. It was, and I think maybe that was the part of me that was working for myself, because meaning in a good way, because I was always thinking things out like, well, if I commit suicide, you know, how is my body going to be recovered and how is my family going to get closure? Well, if you commit suicide, you don't get to know the answers to those questions, you know? And I think that that was keeping me from doing it. So I look at it now as there was an aspect of myself that was looking out for me. But meanwhile, there's all this, you know, turmoil and chaos and horrific things going on that I can't control. You know, I mean, it was probably like a really bad acid trip that didn't stop for 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then you went into the psych ward.
Is that so it? Yeah, I had her fly me to the psych ward in Santa Clara, checked myself in. And as soon as I walked through those doors, I thought, oh my God, I might not be coming out. Like, I just thought, I didn't have any experience with that. And I just thought that they would, you know, just strap you down and shoot you up with whatever they want. I mean, I didn't know. But what they want to do is they want to drug you and stabilize you, or try to stabilize you and get you out as soon as possible. And they wanted to let me out on something that they generally don't prescribe long term, which was Ativan. Because as soon as they gave me one dose of Ativan, everything slowed down and I was able to sleep. And it was like this sense of calm came over me. But what I've learned now is that those drugs aren't supposed to be prescribed for very long. And I ended up leaving there with a prescription of Klonopin, which is its sister drug. It's a benzodiazepine and it's longer lasting than Ativan. And I was on that for 13 months, in addition to several other meds that they put on top of each other, right? So ultimately, I left the hospital with three medications. And then once I transferred back to Kauai, I was on 5 medications. I could name them all.
Please do.
Remeron, Klonopin, Ambien, Latuda, and Lexapro.
And a few of those are benzodiazepines.
Well,
Or form
Klonopin is a benzodiazepine, and I believe Ambien is very, very close to the same thing. And so I don't know. I just felt like I finally made it home. I finally made it home to Hawaii. After 6 months of staying at my father's house, once I got out of the ward, because I was still having really bad intrusive thoughts of my family members, like my closest family members, and I didn't want to return home because I didn't want to face that. I do feel like the medication slowed everything down, but there's repercussions to being on all that as well, because there's all kinds of horrendous side effects that come with these medications, like rapid pacing, rapid movement. I gained 20 pounds, not to mention just waking up and being a complete zombie. And that's when I realized that I needed to eliminate one of the drugs. And I got rid of Ambien, or not Ambien, Latuda really quickly. Within a month, I tapered that. And then I continued to taper all of those medications over 15 months. So I took it very, very slow. I used a dry scale I used a dry cutting. So the pills were dry. And a scale to shave off no more than 10% per dose per month. And I would do one medication at a time.
And how did you learn about that?
So I learned about that through, there's some groups online. There's one called Benzodiazepine Recovery Group. And the Ashton Manual is a manual that was written by a professor that did the largest study on people coming off of benzodiazepines, and so she's written a manual, and that is very helpful. It's saving lives, because what I gathered through the groups was that doctors are rapid tapering people or cold turkeying people and sending them into a worst state of mind than they were in before they ever even got on the medications. And then they look at them like, oh, well, I don't know. I mean, they don't help them once they're harmed. And that's the thing that's so bad. So I took it upon myself to educate myself before I began my taper through the groups. And I saw a common thread or a common theme that doctors are just doing this to people. And I thought, you know what? There's no way, man. I'm gonna get ahead of this and deal with this before my doctor decides to taper me his way.
Or take a drug away.
Exactly. Cold turkey. And yeah. And so I never told my doctor I was tapering. I just took it in my own hands, used the group, used the Ashton manual. And as I eliminated each drug, I just went back and said I was done with that now. And, you know, not really many questions.
And did they ask how you did it? Or
I think, you know, I was at a mental health clinic where there were sometimes stand-in doctors. I never really had a great rapport with my doctor, mm-hmm. so I didn't really feel like I even wanted to share a whole lot with them. I just sort of took it in my own hands. And I know
there are really good doctors. I've been on this island. I've learned so much. There are really good doctors who prescribe only what is needed, and they give it sparingly to people, and they pull them off as soon as they can. They help them. And then there's also different doctors that people, they do get a percentage of these prescriptions. And so there's something really out of control. And I think it's catching up with the doctors because of the pharmaceutical companies giving them kickbacks. But it's clear to me that they went way too far over prescribing. And now we're at a place where they're stopping that, and that's where maybe they pull the drug away, and like they don't give Oxycontin or oxycodone or those things like they used to at all. But mm-hmm. a lot of things are changing because knowledge is power with these Facebook groups. So mm-hmm. After the break, we're going to talk about that, because I want to talk more about tapering, how okay. slow you go, and how you did it.
Okay.
You're listening to Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We plan in the aisle to get our food.
Thinking about getting away for a day or an overnight stay? Pristine Pacific Northwest Island beauty is closer and more affordable than you may think. From unspoiled hills to uncrowded Puget Sound shoreline, from wildlife and stately evergreen forests to bald eagles and blue herons, Whidbey and Camino Islands have it all. They're both located in Puget Sound and are an easy drive from either Seattle or Vancouver, BC. Both islands are accessible by bridge, and each island is a wonder of nature and scenic beauty to be enjoyed by the entire family. To visit this classic Pacific Northwest experience, visit WhidbeyCaminoIslands.com or like them on Facebook to see all they have to offer. You'll discover that island time is just a short drive away and can be affordably yours this weekend. Whidbey and Camino Islands, the shortest distance to far away.
Feeling the need to get away and reconnect with Mother Nature? Located on Whidbey Island, Earth Sanctuary is a peaceful and magical sculpture garden, nature reserve, and retreat center with 2 miles of nature trails, 3 bird-filled ponds, and a variety of powerful sacred spaces, including a labyrinth, stone circles, and medicine wheels. Come and enjoy the wonders of nature and experience personal renewal, spiritual growth, and healing today. Visit earthsanctuary.org or The Earth Sanctuary on Facebook for more information.
Curious about whales in the Pacific Northwest? Orca Network's Langley Whale Center celebrates and shares the lives of gray whales, orcas, and other marine mammals of the Salish Sea. The Langley Whale Center is a project of Orca Network, a nonprofit that is based on Whidbey Island. The Langley Whale Center gives Orca Network the opportunity to have a public presence to share the excitement about the whales and marine mammals who are our neighbors. The Whale Center in Langley gives visitors and residents alike a chance to learn more about the endangered southern resident orcas who visit our area and about the North Puget Sound gray whales, a small, unique population of gray whales who find sustenance in the waters of Saratoga Passage and Possession Sound each March through May. Check out the Orca Network and Langley Whale Center on Facebook for the latest whale sightings, educational programs, and events, or visit orcanetwork.org for more information. You'll be glad you did.
Alternative Talk 1150, the talk of the sound.
It makes me happy when skies are gray. I live color.
Welcome back. You're listening to Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie on location in Kauai at Dolphin Touch Wellness Center in the little town of Kapa'a. And joining me this morning is Don McDaniel. And I was really kind of naive. I was very naive because I had clients come to me on antidepressants and things, but I would never say don't take your meds, you know, and they would come for Reiki or healing. And when I met you, it just a light bulb went on because Seth Yamamoto here in town had just started taking medications a couple years ago, and you know, 2 months later he had taken his life. And so these things, Kauai is really teaching me a lot about, you know, one, healing with exercise and group therapy and talking and even the Reiki and all these things. But when it comes to medications, you have to be so careful. And you were put in a position where you would have to and take these drugs away slowly. Mm-hmm. And so for the listeners, how can you do that? And how do the people around you help you do that? Can we?
Well, I think that's a really good question, Dina. I think some people, I think that you can help some people, but I think it's ultimately going to come down to the person that's dealing with the medications themselves. I do know that I had a very strong will to navigate the storm, and I do think it's individual. But yes, I think having my husband there as a solid rock helped. He didn't do my tapering for me. I set out to do it. I had my little booklet. I had my little week, case where I set my pills, and I just set a day where, okay, today's my taper day, and I would set it out and shave off what I needed and set it up. So I used a scale, weighed my pill, shaved enough off to get it to the right weight. And I'm, like I said earlier, it was 10% per dose per month. So it's very, very slow. It took me 15 months to taper off of all five of the medications. And as I went, I felt better as I went the whole time. And so for me, I had a pretty easy time tapering. Many people, that's not the case. They have to go much, much slower. They're in a lot of different pain and agony. You know, all kinds of things can go on as you're coming off of these things. And that's where I think it can be even a little bit tricky too, in that the doctors will try to tell you that, oh, see, you need your medication. But really, it's the repercussions of the medication. So,
like Angie Peacock, Medicating Normal, this movie that's coming out, and she's been on the show twice. She said her doctor said she didn't like it. She said, well, keep taking it because it gets better. And it never did get better. No. But then she started getting that numbing or dumbing down or zombie thing where she couldn't make decisions for herself anymore. She wasn't leaving her house. No. Her libido was gone. She basically, like you said, gained weight and just hid out for years. I think she even got divorced, I mean, in the middle of this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're on it full force, it's hard to go.
You can't see very well.
No,
you can't see very well at all. It's very cloudy.
And with me, I just think, I know I've been at a very dark place where I was about to go and check myself in. That was like 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you and I have that same thing. If we exercise, it takes me out of that sinking, for me it was depression, it takes me out of that sinking or anxiety.
Yeah. Get those natural endorphins working for you. Mm-hmm. It helps for sure. So that's what I did, was I moved my body. And my husband would have to drag me out walking, and I would be hanging on to him because I was so weak. And just kind of stumbling, not very solid at all in my own self. And but with time, I got stronger. And I do believe that time tincture is what healed me from my original hit from the fluoroquinolone. I don't think these drugs healed me. They may have taken the edge off of the intensity of the symptoms that were coming at me so strongly. But again, like I said, there's repercussions then to those medications. I'm a lucky one that I was able to get out of it, alive, basically.
And you, I really do believe in these Facebook groups because you get to talk to other people and ask questions, and they're not doctors. Because if I go online and I look up benzodiazepine, first thing that comes over to the right is somebody wanted to answer questions for me, and they are doctors, or, you know, they're selling a medication is what they're doing.
I definitely believe that talking with the people that are going through it is the way. You need to talk to the people that are going through it. The doctors, they kind of have a shield up. They're sort of like not, it probably hasn't happened to them. I don't know how they can see all these people coming in with all these symptoms and still not really see clear. But if you get on the groups, one of them is Benzodiazepine Recovery Group. On there, you can get a lot of information and you can see what's going on for these people that are on these medications. I think there's probably a Facebook group for any
medication.
Psychiatric medication that you're on. You can find one. And it's a lot of support. It's great to see that you're not alone, for one, and then also to get a plan of approach of how to deal with it. Rather than only listening to your doctor that's going to tell you now you need another medication when you're already on three or four. They just want to give you another one because of the symptoms that you're explaining to them.
And Angie was on 17. My friend was on 12. And when you get that many meds in your system, you don't even know what drug is causing it, because you take them twice a day sometimes, and it gets very confusing. And for the person that loves them, it's hard to understand because the mental state, your personality changes so much throughout the day, and it's very confusing. I call it the confusion method. Pretty soon you can't even, like, you're out of it yourself.
You know, in the beginning, my mom was saying, well, you know, it's the people, because she read the pamphlet at the ward. It's the people that don't take their medications consistently that have the problem. And then it wasn't until she came and visited me after I was on five and she'd been away from me for so many months and she saw the state I was in. And that's when she knew that's a bunch of bull and that I needed to get off. And she was actually the one that kind of brought me the book, one of the books from Peter Breggin, Dr. Peter Breggin, I believe is his name. And it was about a lot of that being a myth, a lot of what we're taught about the chemical imbalance and that you need these meds for that. And it's a different approach. I mean, I know we kind of got to tread lightly here because there are so many people that really do believe and feel that their medications are helping them. But if there's any one of you out there that feels like maybe that's not true and you want off, I just really suggest taking a really, really slow taper and looking into some support groups, and that there is a way to get off very slowly and safely.
And I didn't even know what the word taper was. I've learned so much because I work with people that sometimes I can't get through to them. And I realize that when they're on a list of antidepressants and such, their third eye's closed. And that's how I kind of came across this. They just aren't, they're numb. And I think what Angie said is the first thing, go, if you're thinking of taking medication, research it, read everything, reach out to one of these Facebook groups and ask,
absolutely,
what's the side effects and how long are you supposed to take it? Most is like 3 months to 4 months. People have been on it for 10 to 20 years.
Exactly.
So the drugs are there for when we need them, and there's tragedy and things that happen and grief we're moving through, but they're not there for a lifetime.
That's right. That's right.
And less is more.
Absolutely.
Less is much
and,
more.
And that's where I was lucky that I only got put on, or I only allowed them to put me on low doses. I was on five, but they were low doses. And I think that's where I was still able to have a little light.
It wasn't a 10-year keep taking and changing your meds. Because people change their meds, too. And that I've seen my friend, she's bawling and crying all the time. And she's mad at me. And I said, what is going on? She mentioned that they'd put her on two to try to get off one. I said, you need to get off of them right now, because she wasn't herself. She literally wasn't herself, and she was just crying all the time. So she did get off the one, but it's one of those things, like, if you don't have someone watching you and paying attention, if you're living alone, that's when tragedy can happen. And I think that Seth was alone, and I think people need to watch people, especially when they're tapering, too, because there's those ups and downs. And, you know, I always say, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? Or what's going on? And but that support system. And I know that when you finally tapered and you were back to you, you had some lights turn on.
I now see the blessing in the storm, because I was kind of spit out at a better place. You know, I just feel like I have a better sense of who I am, and that I'm looking more inward for my answers rather than outward. And that was because I had to hunker down for so long in survival mode, you know, navigating this storm. And so a lot of the ways that I was before, I'm just no longer. Like, it doesn't, I think I was trying to fit into a box, for society or for people, because, you know, the healing work that now I do, you know, not everybody's up for it. And some people might think it's strange. And so there was a part of me that was trying to shove down the beach ball. But what I realized was that those people that I was trying to fit in the box for they didn't save my life. No. It was me. And so my truth is my truth. And I get to own it now, and it feels really good.
And don't you think, too, when the lights are turned off on you, and then the lights are turned back on, that clarity, yes. And I believe the best healers I know have gone through the darkest of dark days, and somehow they move through it. Through the grace of God, or whatever you want to call it, that's how I moved through mine. Miracles happened. Yes, miracles happen. Absolutely. So I guess what we're trying to say is, like, make sure you go to these Facebook groups. Make sure you read what the doctors give you before you put anything in your body that you don't know what it is, even an antibiotic. There's so many side effects to the medication. Sometimes they're worse than the thing you actually have. So when they say on the label that antidepressants cause suicidal tendencies, it, to me, the commercial's like, see my third eye, I hit it. My third eye's between my, I can't understand why you would take something that would actually cause the thing you're taking it for. So, and I've had we've lost way too many people at this point. So I have to speak up about it. Mm-hmm. Again, I've been sad. I've been wanting to take meds and I don't. So I'm still here and I get to tell people stories. So after the break, we're going to talk about the next thing you did when your third eye was clear and you were ready to go and you really rocked my world. You're listening to Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie in Kauai. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It'll make you happy when skies are gray. We love surfing.
Aloha! Join me, Dina Marie, on the island of Kauai. Let me be a tour guide for your spirit and a travel agent for your soul. You'll receive daily healing sessions and experience fun, interactive outings to some of my favorite places, sacred sites, secluded beaches, and sunrises that will lift your spirits. Go beyond the tourist spots, meet fascinating locals, and leave with amazing memories. Retreats are based on your schedule and budget. For more information, visit liftyourspiritswithdinamarie.com.
Dina Marie, you've heard me talking about writing songs with Mr. Van Conner. Well, I'm happy to say that our album is out now.
It's called Coming Back Again, and it features songs like Legacy of Green, Silent Universe, and the title track Coming Back Again.
Our album Coming Back Again is now available for streaming and purchase at your favorite online retailer, including iTunes, Amazon, Apple Music, Spotify, and many more.
Go to dina-marie.com. That's dina-marie.com for a full list of retailers.
Watching the sunrise, an ocean stands between us. Look into the sky. Think of second chances. Look into the past. A thousand miles between us.
Bored with the other stations hammering away on the same old talking points? Try Alternative Talk 1150 and get some variety.
So if this spot gets too much, ain't no place to go.
Thank you for joining us this morning. I am in Kauai, Hawaii, downtown Kapa'a in Dolphin Touch Wellness Center, and I'm talking with Don McDaniel. And I had my friend Deidre, who we did healing work with years and years. They thought she was going to die. She had all these issues, and eventually she was off her medication. She did get her breast removed. She just had a beautiful baby. She's getting married. But, you know, what was it, like 5 years ago, they had written her off. And so when you were investigating about your breast implants, what did you find out?
Well, I really wasn't doing any investigation.
Okay, how did that happen?
I just stumbled upon this story, and instinctually I knew that I just had to get them out, but it was kind of scary because I had to face, there's no easy way to do that. You can't just, you know, twinkle your nose.
No.
You've got to go under the knife and deal with these, you know, doctors again. But But it appeared to me as though when I started looking into the effects, that I still had a lot of the side effects that can go with.
What's a side effect? What's a side effect of?
Anxiety, and even intrusive thoughts.
Mm-hmm. She had an autoimmune thing. A lot of autoimmune stuff.
But I think insomnia was still, and anxiety were still my main issues. And once I got them removed and saw that the intrusive suicidal ideations went away, clearly it was because of those, foreign toxic objects in there.
Mm-hmm. Next to your heart.
Yeah. And I may have been able to clear the pneumonia, that I originally had if I hadn't had those sitting on my chest.
Mm-hmm.
Also. So that was something to think about.
Your immune system is very low.
Yeah, it totally affects the immune system. When I chose my implants, I thought I was choosing the safest type, which was saline. But what I've learned is that it's the casing that begins to break down. And maybe some types of people, like genetic makeup, can process or eliminate toxins better. But it appears as though my system is one that doesn't do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that...
And so what's the casing made out of?
Silicone.
Silicone.
Yeah.
And so that silicone's in your body, and your body loves you so much. It's trying to keep you healthy and do what it can. So toxicity is when, maybe you ate the wrong foods for years and years and years, and maybe your immune system is low. It can only take so much.
Right.
Your body's perfect.
Right.
It's always
right.
working for us, not against us. So when you took the antibiotics, it probably was just way too much.
Yep. Circuit overload.
And for the doctors to come in. And I guess, you know what I would say? I really do like my intuitive Reiki energy work, because sometimes I just have a feeling and it turns out to be what's going on with this person. I've even had a sense of something wrong in a certain area and it was cancer. So, I'm not saying I'm woo-woo or anything, but gosh darn it, we have to have our intuition intact.
Absolutely.
And sometimes a book will open, like for Deidre.
Yeah.
She's getting her hair done and this magazine article's there and it just told her everything she needed to know. But she also was off her medication. She was doing all her inner work. She was learning Reiki. She was she actually got divorced, and she was with a man who really loved her. She was living her life authentically, and
mm-hmm.
she was being herself. So the universe flipped open a page.
Yeah.
She had time to read it,
yeah.
and it changed her life.
Yeah.
Plus, it took courage. She had to take a loan out to get these out.
I know. Yeah, it's not cheap. And there, it needs to be taken out a particular way. And again, Facebook groups helped me with that. There's a group now, it's called Healing Breast Implant Illness on Facebook, and it's very helpful. They have a list of doctors that have designated their practice now for just explantation. So there are now a handful of doctors only explanting. They're no longer implanting. I chose to have my surgery done in Colorado because I had help there after, and I found a surgeon that was willing to not even give me antibiotics in the IV or after. And
mm-hmm.
so I felt really comfortable with her, and she did a great job. Like I said, as soon as the anesthesia wore off, I have not had an intrusive suicidal ideation since, and it's been a year.
Again, I'm going to go, because she's a part of a Facebook group, and that's where she went back and forth bantering with people. She got all the information she needed to make the right decision, but it was too obvious. It was so obvious that was causing it. And now, are they stopping that? Are doctors saying no more to it because we know that it
No.
No.
Oh my gosh, there's too much money in it.
Too much money in it. So a lot of this goes right down to it's worth a lot of money to them,
yeah.
and then you can't go sue the doctor later on. I'm sure you sign things.
They're saying there was no proof. So my doctor was up. She admitted or was able. She was at the place of saying, yes, she's seen that some women have a bad reaction with them, but she's not claiming that.
Well, she can't. No.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well,
she's
and
still
maybe
doing both.
At first when they first started, people thought there wasn't, but now we know there is. And again, with the benzodiazepine, there's so many groups. Angie Peacock, there's Medicating Normal, the movie coming out. What's a couple more of the breast?
Breast implant, or Healing Breast Implant Illness is a group on Facebook. And it's actually my fastest growing group that I'm in.
Yay.
When I got in, it was like 50,000. Now it's 80,000.
80,000.
I mean, it's just growing like crazy. Women are beginning to wake up about this. They're connecting the dots and, to find out, like, oh, I'm not crazy, or, oh, my gosh, to finally find a solution and get them removed. I mean,
and not to take the drugs for all these side effects that happen to be something that you could pinpoint, because really that's what happened. She was like a guinea pig, and she was taking so many drugs to get something fixed, and that caused all those other side effects. And so coming off the meds again, the lights went on. She started doing some like investigating, but also she had an intuitive hunch. These hunches started bringing her to the right doctor. And I also say, set your intentions for health, for healers that, or doctors that are competent, who will listen, who research and stay up with the
who
times,
open.
And open-minded.
Yeah, open, and learn from the people going through it. You know, don't totally just trust your doctor. You've got to reach out a little bit and do a little work outside of that system with all of this, with all of the medications and breast implants as well.
So yeah, Facebook groups, you're getting the information. And I want to just talk to somebody who's thinking of getting implants. I want to talk to a woman who is sad or having some issues, who's going to their doctors and they're asked, saying, hey, why don't you take a benzodiazepine, or why don't you take this for sleep or whatever. Read, and then go on a group and ask somebody who's been through this how it affected them. We're all different, I know that, but I literally, if I have one cause right now, is because I'm seeing too many lives be destroyed. Here in Kauai, they call it chicken skin, but we lost a young man to suicide who was doing just fine until he had a divorce. He took some medication, he was drinking, and he had a breakdown, took him to a psych ward, and a month later, the boy's gone. And Seth Yamamoto is when we play I Live Kauai, which we'll be playing during this show. Beautiful young man, musician and talented, and it took a very short time before it just didn't work for him. But let's talk about feelings and emotions, and what was going on with him is that he was divorced, and it was because she was very upset with him playing music, and he needed to come home and not be out playing music. But I work with musicians, you know. Last week was with Van Conner. We all have this thing that brings us joy, or we all have a purpose or a passion. And when we live with that, mine was rock reading, believe it or not, and exercise. Those are the two things that bring me more joy. Now I have grandkids, so I can put that in there way above that. But there's those things, and that's what I call lift your spirits. You find that thing, you start doing it again, your chakras open, which is your inspiration, your imagination, creativity. You open your heart to other people. You start acting on your ideas. And that's when you guys, that's what you guys did. You took action. Yeah. And you're sitting with me again 2 years later, and you couldn't be sitting here any earlier because your story hadn't evolved yet.
And I thought of that because I wouldn't have been able to handle the explantation any earlier. Like, it needed to come to me at that time. It would have been too much to handle. Mm-hmm. So it came in the right timing. And I was already on my healing path. I've surrendered into moving into my healing work, which I had been in resistance to before, because it's not the easiest of paths. But now, after this whole journey and getting slammed so hard and having to navigate that truth, you know, it's the truth of who I am, and I know it's true.
Can I ask why you got the implants?
I just wanted my nursing boobs back.
I was an aerobics instructor, and I'll be honest, my doctor said, Dina, like, you know, you get that breast exam and, you know, the whole thing after you have a baby, and she goes, he felt sad for me because he was like, Dina, I'm sure the fat will come back, I'm sure you'll be fine, you know. And at that time I was ultra thin, so, you know, I didn't have any body fat. And they're fine now because I've gained a lot of weight, but, you know, I'm a lot more voluptuous. There's more of Dina to love. That's what I got at the Hindu temple today. But, you know, it's one of those things. I'm looking in the mirror and I'm not liking myself, and I think I'm inadequate. And this is when I taught aerobics. I had no body fat, and I was like, you know, now I look back, I'm like, I looked amazing, and maybe too thin, but my self-esteem was so low, you know, and now my self-esteem is fine. I have days, you know. But I never say bad things about my body because I know body-mind connection, right?
That's right.
I used to hate my nose. I used to never look in the mirror. Yeah. And if I did, I said something horrible to myself. Mm. Your body listens to everything that comes out of your mouth, or the thoughts really the thoughts you think. But I just think there's something that happened inside you to be able to just be you again.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say I chose the breast implants because I had always felt like a boy.
I always felt like I had a boy figure.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I nursed that I felt like a real woman. And, like, I had those curves, and I liked them.
Wow.
I liked them, and, yeah. I just thought they're, I had never had any health issues, and I thought they were safe. And
yeah.
So I went ahead and did it, and, you know, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for that young woman that had to go down that road, but I definitely see the blessings now, and
here you are. Yeah. You are, and I know you're in my life for a reason, and when we come back from break, I want to talk about our future and what comes out of us having self-esteem and loving ourselves. You're listening to Lift Your Spirits in Kauai. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Longing for deep transformation? If so, join Lisa Flowers and Jamie Starr at the Lodge at Cedar Springs in Cedro Woolley for their personal transformation intensive retreat. Learn how to release the past and create the life you love in a conscious community. Say yes to one weekend per month for 5 months starting October 11th and change your life. Visit Personal Transformation with Lisa Flowers and Jamie Starr on Facebook or call 425-864-7145. Invest in yourself today.
Are you looking for a place to plan your next gathering or retreat? If so, the historic Captain Whidbey Inn, located on Penn Cove on beautiful Whidbey Island, is waiting for you. At the Captain Whidbey Inn, you can step back into time and enjoy a 100-year tradition of outstanding waterfront dining and lodging. The inn is an ideal setting for retreats, conferences, family reunions, and other gatherings. With a variety of historic and modern accommodations, the inn offers original log-walled rooms, the romantic privacy of the waterfront cabin, or the modern conveniences of the larger lagoon rooms. One of the great things about the inn is that one doesn't need to travel far in any direction to enjoy the feeling of getting away from it all. Your group can enjoy fine dining at the inn with a spectacular view that includes Mount Baker, birdwatching, and marine wildlife. For more details on planning your next retreat, conference, or overnight stay, visit CaptainWhidbey.com.
Lift your spirits with us every Friday at 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 1150 a.m. KKNW Seattle. We will be introducing you to fascinating people, fun places to visit, and activities that are guaranteed to lift your spirits. Miss a show? No worries, you can visit 1150kknw.com and click on our archive page, or like Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie on Facebook for upcoming guests and events. To contact me, Dina Marie, visit dina-marie.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Alternative Talk 1150, local talk for the body, mind, and soul.
Aloha and welcome back. You're in Kauai, Hawaii with Dina Marie, and I'm talking to Dawn McDaniel, and I met her through Dolphin Touch, and we did a chakra reading, some Reiki, attended a few classes, and at the time, I could say your prescription was to basically, I think it was to be authentic, to kind of start doing the work you came here to do.
Yeah, I would have to say that.
And be brave.
True. Yeah, absolutely. Courage has been my little mantra going into the surgery. But before any of this happened, I had known my whole life, you know, I'd always been on a path of like trying to become a better person, wanting to help people. It's always been my nature. But there was a part of me that's been drawn to a little bit more alternative stuff. And I had gotten some criticism via people that I cared about. And so there was a part of me that was wanting to, you know, fit into a box or take an easier route. And I would say the biggest lesson in this for me has been that, you know, I had to learn to trust myself and navigate so fiercely, you know, through this storm, and that those people and society that I was trying to fit in the box for, they weren't the ones that saved my life. It was actually me and my truth, You know, it was me coming from that still point inside. That's where I got my strength, and then discovering, you know, just my true connection, you know, to God, Creator, Source, whatever you like to call it. And that ultimately that has to come first before we can move out into the world and share with other people. But as I was coming out of the storm, I came across a shamanic healer, and she did a session on me, and she said, right as I got off the table, that her husband teaches this work and that she thought I might be interested in that. And so I had a session with him and continued to follow through with learning the work, and it was about a year and a half training. And as that work helped me to put back my pieces and incorporate, you know, everything that I learned, and kind of bring back to me what I wanted to be, rather than all of my programming or agreements that I had, it's just been profound. And so now I'm doing healing sessions for people, and it's so lovely to be able to give back in that way, and to be able to hold the space for somebody going through something that is, you know, treacherous or scary or hard or painful. And I couldn't have done it without the agony that I've been through, without the
and that's it. They make the best healers. You go through stuff. The phoenix. You go through stuff. You go.
It's a dark night.
The dark night, and as you rise, it's very slow. And when you get, you're never at the top, because we're always learning every day. But there's a point where you have wisdom, mm-hmm. and that wisdom can never be taken away from you. And if you can share that wisdom, and it could be like, you know, man, write songs. I like to do the show, but telling your story so other people can learn, and they can maybe get a little glimpse of their own light, and then have the courage. And I say it's like getting on the, you know, the dance floor feeling where you're sitting there and that song's playing. Yeah. That's what life is all about. And you have to have that courage to get up there on the dance floor all by yourself, dance alone to your own, the chicken dance, whatever it is.
I call it leaning into that fear, because just on the other side is where the goodness lies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How did I get here? I was scared, blah, blah, blah. I was so afraid. Yeah. And I still had so many synchronicities and so many voices. It was still, I still had my connection because I was doing my healing work, and I was doing Reiki. And it said, you've got to get on that plane. And it was the scariest thing I've ever done. And I did it, got here, didn't know anybody. And I'm sitting here now because I did get on the dance floor.
Because you trusted.
I don't know if I trusted it, or I just know that voice is always right. Yeah. My voice always goes back and forth, second guesses. It might even like say you can't do it. But that one still, it's short and sweet. And if you're in a good space, like we're running or we're walking or in nature or we're doing a Reiki session, and it's just clear, it's to the point, this is the day, get on the dance floor, this is the day, pick up the phone and make that call. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's people that I don't really want in my family, because I'm so happy with the people I have. But if I had that small still voice say, today's the day, give them a call, and I've had it happen, and I call them, they're right at that point where they're ripe for me to have that relationship open again. And if I try to fix it, it just doesn't work. It never has. And I think we all start out as fixers and people pleasers, and we kind of lose ourselves in the process.
Yeah.
And so that's where I was that day when I got on that plane. And every time I come back here, and it's just because I'm retreating, right? I'm getting out of my normal life, and I'm finding little bits of myself, pick it up, take it back to the mainland, and then whether I'm teaching it or just talking to somebody, like a kid on the bus, you know, you have wisdom and something to offer. And that's where I can see you've grown
absolutely.
A lot.
I'm not looking for the strength outside myself anymore. I think for decades, I always thought somebody else had it more figured out than I could ever, and that I was always looking for somebody to help me. Mm-hmm. And it's not until I've surrendered to really accepting God, really on a level of awareness, right? We're all connected, but it was my awareness about it, and having that relationship that has given me so much strength.
And I think that's when you find the good teachers. When you are, remember, oh, you complete me, that movie, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hate that. She goes, you complete me, or whatever. Yeah. No. If you're working your energy and your whole person, you're going to find the perfect teacher. And that person is going to stay in your life for a certain amount of time. But if you're missing, especially your throat chakra or your power chakra, you'll find teachers that kind of take your money. So that throat chakra, where you're talking about the thyroid.
Yeah.
That's your throat chakra. Women have issues, you said, connected to their breasts. Thyroid issues.
Yes. That was something that I don't think we mentioned on the recording, but That was something that came to mind. That's one of the implications of having breast implants is thyroid issues.
And the mind-body connection. Louise Hay, yeah. You can heal yeah. your life. Yeah. I work with women who just start writing. They express themselves. They might tell the person next to them how they really feel. It might be their boss. Whatever it is, when they start speaking from their heart and how they feel, and I just told you, I have a few people have some. I'm right there. I got to get that voice back, and I got to say it in a way that's just the facts, ma'am. But it's practice, practice, practice. And self-love is one of the most important things. It says yes to you. You use your voice to say yes to Dina Marie. Yes to Dawn, and you say no when you want to say no.
Yep, that's right.
And there's no guilt.
Stepping back, taking care of yourself.
Yeah. Yep, taking self-care 101. Yeah. And so if I ever did come here, I spent the first week doing my own thing. I disappear, no one knows where I'm at. It's because to be full, to be a teacher or a healer, or to just be a good mom, you have to be full, or at least have 3/4.
Yeah.
When you run
yeah.
on empty,
that's right.
what happens?
That's right. Yeah, you have to keep that connection.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And so I think I had rheumatic fever at a time when, and I was not taking care of myself whatsoever. I had no voice. It was a naturopath after going to 25 doctors who were doing nothing but medicate me. I went to a naturopath because I don't have any money and there's no insurance for this guy. I walk in, Dr. Morris, Michael Teo, beautiful man. I walk in, it's $200. He says, Dina, so what do you do all day? I told him, I was killing myself. I had job after job, nursing, 3 kids, taking care of a business. And he goes, you need to stop it. You're killing yourself. And I have no one ever told me that you do too much because I'm the people pleaser.
Yeah,
I literally quit 1 or 2 of my jobs. I started saying no. I got better. And that man changed my life because it
he
was
gave
me
you permission.
Permission to stop and to love myself. And, you know, I was at that point where I could have died.
Man.
You know, but yeah, praying helps. But again, I don't take medication, and I've been sad. I've been
yeah.
depressed.
Yeah.
It was nature, mother nature, of course, praying, getting out into the woods,
right.
and people,
yeah.
random beautiful human beings
yeah.
that have come into my life and said the right thing at the
yeah.
right time.
Yeah, and exercise is a good, you know, a good one just to kind of get those good endorphins working for you.
Mm-hmm. And again, diet. If you're eating a crappy diet, you're not going to feel good. And now it's worse than ever. I love Kauai again.
Yeah.
You come here and I can walk to the farmer's market. I'm eating fresh fruit. And not everyone can come here, but the farmer's markets go on till October in
yeah.
our area. But diet, nutrition, the mental diet.
And
know.
Finding something that brings you joy and just keep feeding that. Just keep doing that and building on it.
And how can people reach you?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can find me on Facebook, Andara Dawn Healing. It's the best way.
Spell Andara.
Andara Dawn Healing on Facebook. Or you can email me at andaradawn@gmail.com.
And I say the best way is just go to the Facebook page, like
yep.
it.
Yep.
If they had any questions, I'm sure you would message them
oh,
back.
Absolutely. And I would love to help anybody. Anybody who wants to feel better.
Well, and yay, Kauai. And she's also a friend of mine on Facebook, so you can
yeah.
go to Dina Marie and
yeah.
like Dawn McDaniel there. I will be home soon. It's been a beautiful trip here. I will be back this winter, fall winter. If you'd like to come to Kauai and maybe meet Dawn
yeah.
Or Jeannie or go on that bike path ride with me, swim in the ocean. I could go on and on and on, walk across the street and dance with
yeah.
me at the
yeah.
Paniola Grill. You can go to dina-marie.com. You can like Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie on Facebook. You can like me on Instagram, dinamarie444. Or you can reach out to Jeannie here at dolphintouch.org. And if I'm not here, you can come out and visit her. It's a beautiful place to stay. I guarantee that you will have your spirits lifted.
Absolutely.
Here
it's
in Kauai.
Place.
Well, thank you for coming out. And yeah, the traffic, that's why you talk to us first.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much for having me, Dina.
You're welcome.
Delightful to see you again.
All right. Yeah. Come back next week for more people, places, and activities that will lift your spirits.
You feel good, I know. Cause she will hold you like she knows you. When the sun hits your skin, you feel alive. God took his time.
It's the place for you and I. It makes me happy when skies.